Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jamie Creel with Shelter Insurance. Come see how we've built a name that you can trust and why it is a must to get your free quote today with our Switch and Save. Located in Ridgeland and Flora, Mississippi, give us a call, 601-992-6000.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody. Let me try that again. Welcome in, everybody. Glad that you are with me on this Tuesday night. It's Rebel Report Live. My name is Michael Borky. Really appreciate you being here talking transfer portal, and more transfer portal. Ole Miss picked up a commitment that we all knew was coming, but it went official, and now makes the running back room very interesting, for sure. There's only one football, after all. A good problem to have, though. Ole Miss adds talent to the running back room, more talent to the running back room. We talked about one last time. Now, we'll do that again. A familiar name also hit the transfer portal on the defensive line. And is he going to Ole Miss? I'm not sure. I think so, but we're going to talk about it nonetheless. And then basketball had another huge visitor on campus today. If they lock it down, it will be yet another really high-level pickup for Chris Beard. So we'll talk about all that on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Follow me. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And wherever you get your podcasts, if you're listening to this on the website at supertalk.fm, we appreciate you checking out the website. Glad that you do check out supertalk.fm. But pull out your phone, your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. So let's start with what is known. It's been a few days, but, you know, we don't do this every day. Henry Parrish did end up committing to Ole Miss, just like, you know, we've talked about a few times now over the last few weeks after the news broke that he was going to hit the portal. When the portal window became open, it came open. He went to Ole Miss. As we said then, 1 + 1 = 2. Former Ole Miss running back followed Kevin Smith to Miami. Kevin Smith leaves Miami, comes back to Ole Miss. Henry Parrish leaves Miami and comes back to Ole Miss. That is Ole Miss's third transfer portal running back pickup. Don't forget about Diggs, the LSU transfer, but two more in the last week adding to that running back room. So they have five scholarship running backs right now at Ole Miss. And that's what makes this pickup especially interesting. Because not only do we know that Henry Parrish is capable, he's valuable, he will help this Ole Miss offense. You know what he can do. He has years of Power 5 experience and performing well with that experience. So you know what you have with him. But I said a second ago, there's only one ball to go around, and I think Ole Miss is not done with running backs either. And so that tells me a couple of things, frankly. Most importantly, as we've talked about before, it tells me that they were not thrilled with what they had in that room, whether it be because of Diggs' injury and when he could become available. And then aside from Bentley, that's all they have. They have a red shirt, a guy coming off of a red shirt who has never taken a meaningful snap before, and then a guy coming off of an injury in the bowl game, and then Bentley. It's all they have. That is not adequate in the running back room. They had to get more. They've added two more, and more's coming. So I think that is very clear that there was some, what is it, malcontent? Some displeasure with what they had in the running back room, and they have certainly changed that for the better, and they're still continuing to add. But somebody's going to be unhappy here. And who is it going to be? Because Bentley, Parrish, they expect carries. They got a commitment from a guy that ran for 1,200 yards and was committed to Arizona just a few days ago. He's going to expect carries as well. if they continue to add in the portal, the next guy is going to expect to get carries. I know back in 2021, Ole Miss had four players with over 100 carries, one of which, though, was the quarterback. You've got more than three running backs expecting carries at this point. So who is going to be the odd man left out here? Who's going to be the disappointed one? Again, it doesn't matter. This is a good problem to have. If you can continue to fill a position of need with quality players, then continue to do that. But we talk all the time about how this is an all-in season for Ole Miss. I'm not saying they shouldn't continue to try to add if they can at running back. I'm just kind of wondering out loud who, you know, who's going to get left out in this deal. Because right now you have some similar skill set guys for the most part. And again, they're going to add more. So is it going to be a hot hand thing game by game basis, or is somebody coming in expecting to get the rock and they're not going to get the rock? We will have to see. But again, Parrish is a good pickup. You know what he's capable of. In the absence of Quinshon Judkins, they have certainly added experience to that room. Again, they lock Bentley down. They get three in the portal, one of which not going to be ready for the start of the season. But there is a clear on paper addition in the running back room. As I tell you guys, I don't think there is many players like Quinshon Judkins out there. I think he's special. He's elite. People downplaying his ability, I think, are a little bit silly. He's a special running back. You don't need Quinshon Judkins to complete your goals as a team, though. Both of those things can be true at once. Elite level back, you don't need to have him to complete your goals as a team, but you needed to get better in the running back room, or you needed to add in the running back room, and they certainly have done that. So I'll put that aside, because the story of the day, possibly anyway, is the re-addition to the transfer portal of Tyler Barron. Familiar names. Henry Parrish previously at Ole Miss, Tyler Barron, the Ole Miss legend for a few weeks. Tennessee transferred to Ole Miss, moved to Oxford, enrolled, and all that stuff. And at the very last minute, at the end of that January transfer portal window, decided to go to Louisville. Left really at the very last minute to go to Louisville. He has re-entered the transfer portal today. We've talked about it before. There's been long rumors about him getting back in the portal and going to Ole Miss. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I think it's going to. I've tried to talk to people today and didn't really get all that far in terms of like hard concrete information, but it certainly seems like there's a line of thinking around Ole Miss that he's going to go to Ole Miss when he re-enters the portal. Now, there are a couple of reactions to that. I've got some people in my Twitter mentions saying that, you know, they're worried that he could disrupt culture, that doing that, going to Ole Miss, leaving, coming back could be an issue, could be a sign of character flaw or whatever. And that's certainly a valid thought, because I'd be lying to you if I said I did not also have that thought. Is, you know, do you really bring somebody that did that to you into your building? But the more I think about it, the more I've come to realize that Ole Miss has to do something like this. I think there are not many, if any, defensive linemen available in the portal as good as this one. It is kind of a weak portal window for defensive linemen that are not transferring from an SEC school. I mean, I guess, you know, there's a couple of guys out there that are transferring from an SEC school that certainly could help. But although nobody knows about whatever, college football is a mess right now. Point is, there's not really many guys like him out there. And look, I don't think he'd even start for Ole Miss on a regular basis, but he's a experienced SEC rush end who has good things on tape. You know, he's not, I don't think he's princely, but I do think he can help, and he's valuable, and he will play for Ole Miss. He will be on the rotation, and they need him. Princely getting a shoulder procedure, already received a shoulder procedure. Apparently, Barron has as well. It's a physical sport. It's a physical position. I guess it happens from time to time, but they don't really have that much depth there. You can't, I don't think, get better than him in this portal window based on who is currently in the portal. So if it is a risk, I think it's one worth taking because of this reason. If one guy can come in and destroy your locker room, it was never strong to begin with. The beauty of this Ole Miss team going into the 2024 season is how strong the locker room is, how many returners that you have. It is an old team, and I mean that complimentary. It's an old team. It's a veteran team. It's a bunch of guys that have played for Ole Miss, that have been around for a while. This is has the recipe to be one of the best locker rooms in terms of culture and standard and expectations and structure and process that Ole Miss has ever had. And so one guy coming in will not disrupt that because you've got too many alphas and veterans in that room that know that it's supposed to go a certain way. And based on what everybody's heard about that team and the guys on it, they're not going to let somebody come in and disrupt that. You guys all saw what happened at the Peach Bowl. I've had multiple people around the team confirm what everybody saw on television, that they are so strong in their process, their culture, that an elite-level player, and again, Judkins is an elite-level player, does not matter to them. If you're going to be disruptive, they want you gone. Jackson, you saw all that at the Peach Bowl. That's real. If Barron, which there's no reason to think that he is disruptive, right? It's just a hypothetical. If he would be, he's not destroying that locker room. If he would destroy that locker room, it's fragile to begin with. But sometimes, and I don't know why he left Ole Miss for Louisville. I'm not going to pretend like I know why he's leaving Louisville for Ole Miss, although it seems like there's some pretty good indications of what's going on over there. But anyway, I don't know why he left Ole Miss. I don't know why he'd possibly return. Got to keep that caveat on there because things change in recruiting often. But sometimes guys, college football players, make decisions that are done because of pressure. They're pressured by a parent or a family member or a high school coach or pressured by money or whatever. There's a lot of reasons why somebody would do what he did, and they're not all bad. It could just be as simple as something like that, where he got a ton of pressure and the breakup wasn't ugly. It was just, you know, unfortunate timing and indicator of kind of how chaotic and ridiculous college football has become. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's like a flaky bad dude, you know? Until I'm given a reason to believe that, I'm not going to believe that. Just like when I went back and forth with South Carolina media when Juice Wells decided to go to Ole Miss and he was being called things and framed in ways that I thought were pretty ugly, considering they have no idea why he left. And if some of the things that I've heard are true, the reasons he left, besides the obvious, because you'd rather play for Lane Kiffin in this offense and Jackson Dart than whatever the hell they're trying to do over there at South Carolina, from a football perspective, the move makes all the sense in the world. But there's other stuff like behind the scenes that would lead to a move. And if those things are true, then speaking ugly about that decision is a very sour grapes, lame ass, forgive my language thing to do. And so I'm not going to do that here because I have no reason to, I have no idea why he would make this move. But if the team wants him, if Pete Golding wants him, there's a reason. There's not guys like him available in the portal. Not many, if any. He can help you. You need experience at this position. You need depth at this position. He will help you win games. And so if he wants to come to Ole Miss, you bring him to Ole Miss. The locker room is strong enough. It will be just fine. I think it'll be just fine. Finally, basketball. Javon Small, the Oklahoma State transfer previously at ECU, is visiting Ole Miss. I believe today is when this is going down. He's a guard, 6'3", 195. He's actually from South Bend, Indiana. He was a 15-5-4 guy, so 15 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists per game. Does turn it over a little bit, but when you handle the ball as much as he does, average 3 turnovers a game with those just over 4 assists. So kind of a high volume of turnovers, but again, when you're handling the ball as much as he does, then that is going to happen. But a capable three-point shooter, 37.5% from three on almost 5.5 threes per game. So a pretty high volume of three-point shots. And he makes a high volume of three-point shots as well. That's a really good number. He put up 34 points, for example, in the middle of March at BYU in a loss that day, by the way. But he was 5 of 9 for three, or from three that night. I mean, he's got scoring outputs and assist outputs that are really encouraging. Again, you know, he turns it over a little bit. Had 5 turnovers in his last game. He's had a 6 turnover game, a bunch of 5 turnover games, a bunch of 4 turnover games. He hasn't been the best at protecting the basketball, but he also has had a bunch of high-level assist games. There's a handful of 7 assist games in there, 5 assist games, 6 assist games, all throughout what he put on film this year and on the court. A pretty consistent player, a consistent scorer, and would be a huge pickup for Ole Miss as they continue to retool that basketball roster. We talked about it. A lot of people have said that there's been a good bit of money earmarked for basketball for Ole Miss, more than what you would expect. And if they are continuing to add guys like this, then it would tell you that is absolutely right, because players like this don't really grow on trees, at least on paper anyway. And this, again, would be a really good pickup. Quality player, can score to high volume, can dish the basketball, rebounds it. Physically, he would be the smallest guard in Ole Miss's starting lineup at 6'3", 195. So got good size as well, a willing defender, would be a good pickup there. So that is your lead. That's your rundown. I'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. That is the place for all of your office technology needs. Advantage Business Systems has everything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems. If it's tech, if it's in the office, any technology in the office, and your Mississippi business needs it, absms.com. Tell them I sent you, and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority like they make me their priority every single day that I go to. I don't go to the bank every day, but every time I go to the bank, my Priority One Bank location makes me feel like a priority. Their online banking platform is awesome. It's a one-stop shop. You don't need multiple apps like I needed to at my previous bank to do whatever it is that you want to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Also, very, very excited to be welcoming on a new sponsor at the start of next month. I'm very, very thrilled about that. I'll tell you guys who they are ahead of time, though. We'll get started a little bit sooner, but that just finalized. So pretty fired up about that. Looking forward to welcoming them to the program. So let's get to your messages now. More and more drama with Colorado and Louisville. Does anyone who is actually knowledgeable in football really think the Deion experiment is going to work? Oh, man. It doesn't look good right now. And, I mean, we talked about the recruiting deal before, but that is somebody that if he put in the work on recruiting, would kill it. Because, I mean, he's got an infectious personality, got a big smile. I mean, he's a smart guy. I know some people don't like him, but he's smart and he's got a big smile. And, buddy, he was an unbelievable athlete. And he could go into living rooms all over America and go into schools all over America and just win everybody over by just existing, right? He could be a dominating force in recruiting, but instead he chooses not to. And knowing what it takes to win in college football, there's no realistic reason to expect him to win at a high level in college football unless those habits change. Why did Nick Saban win at Alabama? Because he was relentless. It was regimented. He was up at the same time. He was at the office at the same time every day.
everything was structured, regimented, and they grinded, and he grinded, and he was in schools and living rooms all over the country all the time. When he wasn't coaching, he was recruiting. When he wasn't in Tuscaloosa, he was recruiting. It was constant, and that's why they won. Look at the best programs in college football right now. Look at Georgia. What is Kirby Smart doing when he's not coaching? He's recruiting. He's all over the country. Sark is all over the country. Even Ole Miss, because they're obviously the center of our conversation now. It's Lane Kiffin after the bowl game. What did he do? He was on that jet all over the country recruiting. That's what you have to do to win in college football. Even the portal kids, you still have to build relationships with. That's how Ole Miss was able to sign the number one portal class, because Kiffin grinded for it. And they have a well-funded and organized collective, but Kiffin and Golding grind for this. That's how they got to this point. You couldn't always say that about Lane Kiffin. You definitely couldn't say that about Lane Kiffin in his first couple years at Ole Miss, that he was locked in. He'd probably tell you that privately. But what you saw this past season paired with what has happened since, that's what locked in looks like. That's what wins games. Doing TV interviews with Good Morning America or whatever, and then going on podcasts and ripping on all the players that leave your program, even though you said that, you know, they were your luggage and they were Louie or whatever, and now you're not recruiting at all. It's going to go the same way again. Because if that's the attention to detail or the lack of attention to detail that you see publicly, imagine what it looks like privately. I can tell you how that looks privately. There are some schools out there spending on credit who will be deep, you know what? Yeah, Louisville's definitely weird right now. Players leaving in droves. It is wild, isn't it? It's wild. Something's very, very clearly wrong at Louisville right now, because everybody loses players to the portal, but most of them can be explained away, right? Like Mississippi State lost a couple of offensive linemen today. Why did they lose a couple of offensive linemen? Because they brought in a bunch from the portal. If Ole Miss loses a couple of offensive linemen, I know it was reported that they're going to, it hasn't happened yet, but if they do, it's because they recruited over them. Connor, the tight end, hit the transfer portal, left Ole Miss. Why did he do that? Because he wasn't going to play. Right? They got three tight ends ahead of him right now. He wasn't going to play, so he hits the portal, and that's his prerogative. Good on him. It's fine. But when you have the volume, and sometimes you lose starters just because you lose running backs to Ohio State because weird drama happens. Like that is a realistic thing too. Great teams still lose players. Trey Amos is at Ole Miss, right? He would have started at Alabama this year, but he still left. Those kind of things happen too. Very small amounts, though, for schools. Louisville's losing what would have been impact players at a high volume. Something's wrong there. That's not typical. It's very atypical. Yeah, now you have the state running back portal commit probably back out the door, headed to Colorado. Yeah, and if they miss on Martinez, they've got to not scramble, but they do need running back help pretty badly. And so if they do lose him, they need one for sure. Ole Miss doesn't have a bell cow, but the running back room looks very nice. A healthy Logan Diggs, who could be fresh later in the season, would be the closest thing to a bruising back. He would really help. I think that if healthy, people would be absolutely through the roof about a guy like him. He's good. He'll be really good in this offense whenever he's healthy. You believe a fresh Diggs late in the year could be a huge difference maker? I would love to know, and I don't know. I would love to know the latest on that timeline. Everything that has been said about it has been like grapevine stuff or whatever, that he won't be ready for the start of the season, but they do expect him this season. If that's the case, maybe they don't need another running back, but it looks like they're still trying to add one. Wouldn't mind holding Diggs out for the year if the rest of the room is producing and healthy. You can play him the last four games. So, dumb question that I should know the answer to. Do the four games also include postseason?
P.
Parrish was and can be another good pass-catching back. He was really good on swing passes from Corral. Absolutely. Thought piece. Should Kiffin and company take a run at Cormani McClain? Too much of a diva, or is the risk worth the reward? So I saw his list, and it looked like not many big-time schools are making said run. And maybe that will change, but it looks like initially a lot of people are going to stay away. So I think I would. Because the difference between, and again, I don't know if there's any issue with Barron or not, but let's just pretend like there is. You know Barron can produce at the SEC level. You have no idea if McClain can. So if you're inviting drama and possibly no production, I don't think that's worth it. So I wouldn't. I think they're fine there, and I don't think that would be worth it, but that's just me. Not a good locker room fit on McClain. Don't want another prima donna like Judkins. I feel like the locker room is in a good place at the moment. It is. Thank you for the super chat, man. Appreciate you an absolute ton. Thank you for that. This coaching staff and the collective are miles and miles ahead of everyone else. You love it? Yeah, and that's the thing. The guy earlier, if you follow me on Twitter, he was not he's not one of those people that was calling Ole Miss broke. He was making a joke about a salary cap. And if Ole Miss does not get Tyler Barron, it's not because they lack funds. And after everything that they've done, think about all like dating back to Walter Nolan, right? You forget that Walter Nolan's on the team and you forget what he's getting, right? So number one portal class, basketball's number has increased. Baseball has an expensive roster, and they're still not in a position of broke. You know, it's impressive. But it's all you guys. You know, Walker does a great job. William Liston and the people that came before him were visionaries in this space, and they deserve a ton of credit. But it's you guys that are funding it. They can be all the visionaries that they want, and Walker can be great, but without average Joe fan funding this deal, doesn't matter how good they are. With all due respect to Walker, I think he'd agree with me if he heard this. It doesn't matter what he does if you guys aren't in. So, yeah, PTG Outdoors shirts are out, by the way. So for the a couple of you wanted one, and you're getting it. And, yeah, mine should be here soon, and I'm looking forward to rocking them myself. I saw the mock-ups. I can't wait. Lane Kiffin and his staff really flipped a switch last year, and so far it seems now as well with their own culture and process. Maybe this is the closest thing to Kiffin's own Saban process. You're seeing it in high school recruiting as well. They get another defensive player. The addition of Pete Golding has been awesome for Lane Kiffin. They very clearly had an established rapport before, but Kiffin very clearly trusts Pete Golding in a lot of ways, and that's obvious. And Kiffin has turned it into a different gear. I mean, you talk to anybody that's covered the team or been around the team, Lane Kiffin 2020 and 2021 is not Lane Kiffin 23 and 24. A change has happened. I don't know what it is. I think that we could be Pollyanna about it, and it would be true to some degree. It doesn't matter what it is. He has taken the Ole Miss job a hell of a lot more seriously. And as a result, look at what it's becoming. No doubt about it. Part of the reason Barron flipped was to play with his brother. I have a hard time believing he would be a distraction, but in this era of college football, who knows? Especially, like I said before, I don't think Pegues and Dart and Ivy and Trey Harris and Jordan, those guys would not allow somebody to come in and disrupt them. Listen to any of those interviews, any of them talk at any time. None of them would let one guy come in and disrupt what they're doing. Ole Miss has had Cisse, Brandon Murray, and Nunez enter the portal. Do I think this indicates more quality transfers coming in? Yes, but also they probably see the writing on the wall and that they're getting recruited over. So even if, you know, Chris Beard doesn't bring in five more guys at the same quality as his first four guys, but, you know, Cisse was a starter. Was he going to start on this team? Brandon Murray, was he going to start on this team? And if that answer is no, then them hitting the portal and exploring their options to try to start somewhere does make sense. But yes, they're not done adding for sure. But what they've added so far is incredible. There's been little talk about Umane Mielen's shoulder surgery. You hope for Ole Miss and in his own sake, he recovers effectively and in time. Could be a situation to monitor for sure. When we talked about it on the radio show, my take was it's simple. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I do know that it's better to have shoulder surgery in April than August. So the timing is as good as it can be. I mean, unless it happened in February, I suppose, but timing couldn't be better. Much rather have it happen now. These guys are physical freaks of nature. They recover differently than us. Going to WebMD.com or whatever and looking up labrum surgery recovery times and applying that to a 22-year-old super freak of an athlete, it's not a very smart thing to do. All the expectation is for him to be ready by the time the season begins. And they really don't need him to be ready for Furman either. So you don't think they would have let Princely go all spring long if it was anything serious. You'll start to worry if he's limited when fall camp hits. That's for sure. That's good. Yep. No reason to worry until they give you reason to worry. No reason to worry right now. But as Edward said, just something to monitor. The amount of money they're throwing around really amazes you. Little Ole Miss should not be able to compete on the national stage with the real blue bloods. Yeah. Yeah. You know, back during the NCAA investigation, it was so funny because the same people had these two thoughts that Mississippi is poor and dumb and Ole Miss is outbidding everybody for players. It's like, wait a minute. They're poor and dumb, yet so wealthy that they can spend more money on football players than Alabama? That doesn't make any sense, but none of it made any sense. Ole Miss basketball quite simply didn't have the players this year. They could have... Look, their faltering down the stretch wasn't exclusively about players, but it was mostly about players, and they are rectifying that. Enjoy Beard, you say enjoy Beard and what he's doing, but you have a feeling he's gone in a few years. Who cares? Don't worry about it. Who cares? Because if he's gone in a few years, it means you made a few tournaments. So who cares? Don't worry about it. Tournaments are fun. All he is doing at Ole Miss, especially let's say he makes the tournament this year, he's showing that you can do it. That's all he's doing. So if that does happen, the job's been elevated. And if that doesn't happen, it means that you kiffened him. So you don't believe he'll leave as long as he is? As long as he is aid and the collective is backing him. As long as he's paid and the collective is backing him. Yeah, for sure. Where do I believe the weakness is on this 2024 football team? Ooh, that's a good question. The weakness. Offensive line only because this group hasn't done it together at Ole Miss yet. That's all. They got better on paper there. We've talked about it before. The two Washington guys, last year's best offensive line in football, Drake Mays, left tackle, Terquan Scott from Southern Miss, whose advanced numbers are pretty special. That's an upgrade on paper, but I got to see it first because they were, relatively speaking, they were bad on the offensive line last year, and they were able to scheme around it. They won in spite of it. So until proven otherwise, I'm going to say that offensive line is the biggest area of weakness going into this season because of what it was a year ago and how it's all very new. I think they have a chance to be quite good because of what they added and what that looks like on paper. But for now, that'll be my choice is offensive line just because of that reason. Yeah, Pat. That will happen this week. I have yet to tell them what day. I think I'm going to tell them Thursday will be when that will happen. So actually, I need to respond to that. I will do that when we hang up here. So anyway, weakness will be containing any egos in the locker room and being a team. Pressure is, we talk about it, but pressure is something that I'm really looking forward to seeing how they handle for sure. But yeah, I guess offensive line, maybe defensive back because you've got some new portal there, but they're so talented there. We'll do an episode on this, especially during the offseason, but there are no excuses. There really aren't. Ole Miss has given Lane Kiffin everything that he needs to win at the level that they're expected to this year. Now it's on him to go do it. It's really that simple. There are no limitations. They've got everything that they've got returning. They've brought an influx of talent via transfer portal. They've got all the support staff that he could possibly need, the analysts, the extremely highly paid defensive coordinator, and hell, the extremely highly paid offensive coordinator. The staff, the support staff, the players, everything is there. It is all there for him. There are no excuses other than you didn't get it done. Because in years past, in coaches past, Ole Miss's seasons could in part be attributed to that's a difficult job. It's tough to win there. So coaches with an underwhelming season would have an excuse, right? There's no excuse for Lane Kiffin. Make the playoff this year. Then it becomes about, you know, who you draw or whatever. But this is a double-digit win team. This is a playoff team. No excuses. You've been given everything possible to compete for a championship. Now go do it. They don't have the 85 that Georgia has. They don't have the 85 that Ohio State has. Maybe not Texas, but I would put this Ole Miss roster up against most people in college football, almost everybody in college football. Now it's all about Lane. Can he take that next step and then be knocking on the door and then knock that door down? This season, this 2024 season, is all about Lane Kiffin because everything else has been taken care of. I think he can do it. We will see if he can. Last year should tell you that he is capable of doing so. But it's a different beast. The expectations are different. The playoff is different. From talking to one of Jerquan Scott's offensive line teammates at Southern Miss down there, old teammates, excuse me, at Southern Miss down here, he's a sleeper for the offensive line, Swiss Army Knife. His numbers are extremely impressive. I know it's the Sun Belt, but still. Should play for the Natty this year. All depends on the matchups, but yeah, I think making the playoff is a success regardless of what happens. I think it's a minus to B plus season if you make the playoff and lose. If you get one win, anything after that's gravy. Win a Natty by defeating Ohio State would be hilarious. Yes, it would. 85 players don't play, need a damn great 22. I think they've got that. I do think they've got that. Lane just has to be locked in. I need that Peach Bowl Lane Kiffin when October comes around. No reason to think that you're not going to get that. Prop bet if Ole Miss takes the Natty, what are the odds the curtain rod gets fixed? 0%. It's not happening. Ever. Never, ever, ever, ever. Never. So, anyway, I got to run, guys. I'm going to go watch more playoff basketball. I have been loving the NBA playoffs so far. We've had incredible games. I mean, I know we lost, but New Orleans and Oklahoma City was awesome. You had a hell of a game with Philly and New York, and that ending was wild the other night. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it. So, I'm going to go catch the end of Phoenix, Minnesota. And then you've got a couple more tonight as well. Kawhi possibly back for the Clippers. Anyway, so I'm going to go check that out. Appreciate you guys being here. As always, you guys are awesome. We'll be back Thursday. We will be back Thursday getting you ready for the weekend. I know, you know, there's baseball, and there will be some movement, I'm sure, in the portal between now and then. So I appreciate you guys, and I'll see you. Yeah, remember to like the video. all that. Don't forget to subscribe as well in your favorite podcast app. And yeah, we'll see you on Thursday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.